Sal, back on the fan. Brandon's here. He's Sal Licata Show. 877-337-6666 is our number on his Friday. Get ready for everything this weekend. Ball, baseball, Knicks. But we're talking draft. That's the top story. And hockey as well. And the top story is that what the Giants did was next level intelligent. And it's not going to seem that way to some today. And I get that. And it's not even so much about the player, although for me it is specific to Malik Nabers. It's about how they got to Malik Nabers, what their intentions were, what their drop-dead limitations were, what the other options were after that, and then their love for this player who I think is going to be amazing. They wanted to make a trade. So anybody who doesn't want to see Daniel Jones around much longer, and trust me, there's a long line, including me and Sal, all right? But it's not like they were trying to double down on. They were trying to move away from him. Hey, Patriots, we'll give you this and this and this and that for number three. We want May. Not having it. They tried. Then where do you go from there? Well, I guess they don't love Michael Penix. And I like Penix. Boomer likes him. But he's also had four season-ending injuries. I could see why he would pass. So I think everything the Giants did was calculated, was smart, on the money. You're going to love Malik Nabers.
Yeah, it was a stupid pick. Just stupid. I can't express enough how idiotic. I mean, you say it's next level intelligence. I think it's next level stupidity for a Giants franchise that should have learned from the mistakes they made before. Odell Beckham Jr., Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley. Here we go with Malik Nabers. It's not about Nabers and him being a productive player or not. It's about it's the wrong pick for a losing franchise and has been a losing franchise for years. Not learning the right way to do things. This was not the right way. Now, if you don't have the stomach to trade up for what it would have cost to get Drake May, who maybe they believe is a franchise-changing quarterback, maybe they didn't, I don't know, but if you don't have the stomach for that, that's fine. If you don't want to take J.J. McCarthy or Penix at number six, that's fine too. Trade down then. You do not take a wide receiver there when you're trying to build a team, a foundation. They, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, need their quarterback. They, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, and throwing the owner as well, have now clearly aligned themselves with their quarterback being Daniel Jones. And that is an epic fail. We needed to wake up today or go to bed last night knowing that the Giants moved on from the Daniel Jones era. And we wake up today seeing that the Giants got a weapon for Daniel Jones. What could possibly go wrong?
And there's the difference. That is how we see what the Giants did. We'll get to the Jets stuff in a little bit.
BT, I love the Jets pick. I thought the Jets did a great job last night trading back one spot and drafting a lineman. We talked about that all day yesterday. Thank goodness, because I wouldn't have been able to take it today had the Jets gotten Bowers. I would have flipped out on both teams. At least we saw someone operate with some smarts yesterday, your New York Jets.
Yeah, I like it. I understand that, you know, I'm not going to go nuts over it positively. Certainly not going to crush the Jets. That's not what I would have done. I understand why they did it, but really, to me, you know, you had a chance to add something that not only would have helped Rodgers now, which is, you know, what it's got to be about to an extent, but also help fortify a really important position that has evaded the Jets forever. But, you know, the kid they bring in, Olu Fashanu from Penn State, big, high character, left tackle, and, you know, captain at Penn State. And I don't think he gave up a sack in 2 years. I think that's what I read.
Dominant left tackle. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I'd also like to draft number 11, somebody who's going to play week one. And unless Tyron Smith goes down in training camp and anything's possible, he won't. But I get it. Again, I'm not crushing the Jets. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair, remind you that you always get the guarantee lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bobby's in Roseland, BT and Sal. Bob, what's up?
Good afternoon. Sal, you're a nitwit. I got to tell you why. First, you buried the Giants.
You don't get to come on and call me names. So if you're going to be disrespectful, you're not going to get any airplay. I'm sorry. Now, you want to debate a point, that's fine. But just to reiterate, I'm the one who's doing this job, and I will put my football knowledge or any sports knowledge up against anybody. You want to debate that, that's fine. Come on and debate it. Don't call names. So get lost. And don't do me a favor. Don't call back.
We can't have that. Yeah, we can't have that. I mean, listen, me and Sal yell at each other. We probably yell at each other as much as any two hosts yell at each other, maybe in the business, right? But there's got to be a line of respect, man.
Yeah,
and it's our show. You can't call up and call him that. You just can't do it.
Well, I love the debate. Like, 100%. We can disagree, and I could be like, BT, you're nuts. You could be like, man, you're out of your mind.
You're crazy.
Right, but there's a respect level there for the opinion. And mm-hmm. I will, as I said this before, not tolerate any disrespect on any aspect in any walk of life from anybody. Certainly not from somebody calling on our show. But thank you.
Let me get, how about Dan in Garwood? What's going on, Dan?
BT, Sal, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Dan?
Sal, I don't know if I'm saying a nitwit thing, but anyway, so Sal, so I got 2 points. I got a Giants thing here, and I got if I got a moment to make a quick Knicks comment.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants thing, Sal, I don't understand the bashing, man. I'm a Giants fan. I'm in agreement 100% with you, man. I think this was it's nothing against the player. It's the position. It's too easy to fill. There's too many wide receivers. I don't care if you got the greatest paint set in the world. If you don't have the artist to paint the picture, what good is the paint set? So, like,
But hold on a sec, Danny. Now you disagree, and that's fine. But you can have the greatest artist, but if you don't have a canvas to paint on, it's also meaningless. So you got to start with something.
Yeah. Now, I got that, BT, but that's the offensive line as a canvas, and they still should be rebuilding that. You're not going to go nowhere in this league. Now, listen, I don't even hate Daniel Jones. I don't know what's left of the tank. I don't know what he has there, but I just know that as of right now, the Giants have already made it look like they were willing to move on from. They were talking to Russell Wilson at one point. So, if they basically put it out there that they're not sure if Daniel Jones is going to be the future, mm-hmm. and they're looking to move on, then I understand if you're not in love with either of the quarterbacks. There wasn't like an overwhelming guy except for Williams. Like, there was nobody that blows you away. I kind of like JJ over Penix anyway, but I get it. If you're not in love with either of those guys, cool, don't take them. They're not your guy. You don't want them. You're willing to wait for somebody else down the road. But you got to. It's like the Giants are like, listen, like they don't want to admit that they're going to stink next year, probably, and they're probably going to stink. They're not for the Jets to have taken Neighbors would have made more sense because they got Aaron Rodgers to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
So we don't know who's going to be throwing the ball to anybody. We don't know if we're going to have anybody that's even competent at quarterback.
No, that's true,
and
Dan.
Wide receivers.
You know,
wide receivers are a dime a dozen.
Well, not, but that's not true, Dan. Thanks for the call. Dime a dozen? No. Dime a dozen? When was the last time Giants...
I agree with that. For the most part, they are.
Okay, well, not the elite ones.
Yeah.
I mean...
Even they're great wide receivers all over the place in today's NFL.
Name five, not good, five great wide receivers.
Well, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
Justin, who else?
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill come to mind immediately.
Those are three. You want to go Steph Diggs or you put him next tier?
Yeah,
I'm just helping you out. Keep it moving.
C.D. Lamb, A.J. Brown, Davante Adams,
Steph
Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans,
Devo Samuel, DK
Metcalf, DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, hold on.
You don't think those guys are great wide receivers?
I think some of them are really, really good. I think some are on the other side of being as great as they once were. Like, I don't think Davante Adams quite what he was.
Oh, he's a legit number one receiver.
I understand that, but we have a different definition of great. I think that some of those guys are really great.
Who's a number one? Give me a number one receivers.
Well, every team has a number one. Doesn't mean that he's great.
Yeah, but like a superstar number one.
To me, obviously, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. I guess I'll put Diggs there, I guess, but begrudgingly.
Jefferson, Hill, Chase.
Tyreek Hill.
Stop me when I give you one because I have the list up.
Go ahead.
Jefferson, Hill, Chase, Lamb, A.J. Brown.
C.D. Lamb's great.
I think
so. Great. Great.
You think Malik Nabers is going to be better than C.D. Lamb?
Well, I'm not even talking about Malik Nabers, right? We are indirectly, but yeah. I'm just talking about the dime a dozen, no.
A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams.
If it's so easy, now this speaks to their ineptitude, but if it's so easy for teams to find great wide receivers, why can't the Jets find one? Or they finally found one with Garrett. Why, outside of Odell Beckham, haven't the Giants had one in 25 years? Why can't, for the most part, the Browns find one? Up until recently, why couldn't the Bills find one? Like, it's not nearly as easy as you make it out to be.
No, I do. I think in today's NFL...
Well, then why can't the Jets or Giants get one?
Well, they're stupid.
Well, okay, what about the Browns?
And by the way, the Jets do have one now with Garrett Wilson. And, you know, the Giants are working. They think they now have one. And they did have one recently with Odell Beckham Jr. And guess what? The Giants won more before Odell Beckham Jr. arrived than post-Odell Beckham Jr.
But it's not because they devoted a top draft resource to a wide receiver. It's because the other things that mattered that made the Giants great, they deteriorated and they failed to fix them.
Because they did use the resource on Odell Beckham Jr. They could have had Aaron Donald or Zach Martin. And they chose not to. Think about that. It changed everything. And Jerry Reese got caught up in the world of the NFL. Now, he was ahead of the curve as far as where the NFL has gone now, open things up and skill position players and all that stuff. But he got caught up with that, with Odell Beckham Jr., with Evan Ingram. I remember being perplexed. I was mad that he took Odell Beckham Jr. I was perplexed when he took Evan Ingram. Could not believe that he was actually be that dumb to do that. And then Dave Gettleman years later takes a running back number two. Like, I just don't get it. So I do think, along the lines of the caller, that it is easier to find a productive receiver, maybe not the top guy.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
But I just gave you at least 15
guys. There's a lot
guys.
Of good ones,
I
mean, for sure. There's a lot of good ones.
I mean, it's half the league.
Great.
That's half the league that's covered with guys. I mean, we didn't even get to Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Jalen Waddle, who's a second receiver on his team. DJ Moore's a stud receiver. McLaurin. Like, these guys are, Devontae Smith, they're all over the league. You got more coming in now. They're wide receivers everywhere.
I also think the numbers are what they are. And listen, you know, back in the day, it was so easy to identify the four, five, six great receivers because teams didn't throw the ball as frequently.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
You know, so like now, when you throw the ball 40 times a game or 35, like most of these teams do, hey, there's a lot of guys with numbers. Like I'm saying, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm focusing on the word great. That's always been like a nitpick thing of mine. Even with Teague, I would do is like, great, are you great or are you good? Are you great or are you really good? There's the big difference to me. Like, great is like Hall of Fame. Like, right. That's my interpretation of great. Whereas somebody like DK Metcalf or DJ Moore, those guys are good. Those guys are really good. They ain't great. It is 12:29 on the Fan. BT and Sal here. We got Brandon Jacobs swinging by. He's going to be in studio next segment. So we'll talk to him about what he thinks about his Giants. Let's get back to you, Timmy in Northport. Tim, what's going on, bud?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love the friction. Awesome job.
Thanks.
Sal, have you ever played quarterback in like a flag football game or a touch football game with your boys?
Sure.
And you have that guy who just always gets open. He gets separation. He makes you look like Boomer. Right. That's what this guy is for the Giants.
Okay. So what's your point? I'm confused.
I think that he's going to make our mediocre quarterback, Daniel Jones, look great.
Right.
If he gets a little bit of time.
And now we're getting further into the argument where I don't think that there's a player alive or dead that could make Daniel Jones be a better quarterback. Daniel Jones is who he is. And I've always believed it's not just about Daniel Jones, BT. It's about anybody. Well, I believe a good quarterback should make wide receivers better, not the other way around. You want to use the Raiders? I think they're a great example. The Raiders who drafted your guy, BT Bowers, right? Mm-hmm. They had the stud wide receiver, Devontae Adams. They draft Bowers. How do you think the Raiders' offense is going to be this year?
They're not good, but they don't have an offensive line. And not that the Giants have an all-world O-line, but it's definitely getting better. It's functional.
Right. So the point is, and while the Giants are in a better spot than the Raiders as an organization, the Raiders have one of the best receivers in football, Devontae Adams, legitimate number one. Nobody's going to argue that. Even if he's on the downside, he's still a beast of a receiver. Look at what he did a year ago, putting up those gaudy numbers. And now they add Brock Bowers, who you and others think could be a game-changing tight end, but they're still going to stink. That's not how you build a team. And that kind of plays to my point. So while Neighbors could be an explosive, game-changing wide receiver, just like Odell Beckham Jr. was for the Giants, it will not make them a better team because he's not going to make Daniel Jones a better quarterback.
Yeah, I also don't think Daniel Jones matters. I know that sounds ludicrous because right now he's the top quarterback on the depth chart. I don't look at this and marry the two like, oh, God. Like, are the Giants suddenly thinking, man, maybe Daniel Jones with weapons is going to be a stud? They know. They know that they foolishly overreacted and gave him a contract that they can't get out of yet. Otherwise, it's $69 million plus, and you just can't do that. It's irresponsible for the most part, unless you eat some money and find a team that you could trade with, which I don't rule out yet, but I don't think is very, very likely. So you're stuck with him for, and I say stuck. You're stuck with Daniel Jones and his bum wheel for another year, and then you move on. And, you know, I don't know what direction they move on to yet. I don't pretend to. But I do strongly believe once they pivot from Jones, which will be very soon, and they move to whomever they're going to move to, that Malik Nabers is going to be one of the best players in the NFL. I believe that. Now, if that's not the case, that's a different discussion. But I have no issue with the Giants. Matter of fact, not only do I not have an issue, I love what they did. John's in Manhattan, BT and Sal. John, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
great
John.
Show. I love the friction also. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Thanks, John.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, right? It is.
You should see us when we walk out of the studio.
It's been twice this week.
Yeah, I know.
And we haven't even gotten to the heart of baseball
season. That's true. The Yanks and Mets have been on pause. Wait till we get back to that. Oh, it doesn't end here, man. Go ahead, Johnny.
Listen, I'm a big Jets fan. I happened to, you know, BT, when they were about to pick, I was in your boat. I really liked Brock Bowers. But when I was looking at these guys, even the tackles, I happened to think that the one they took, in my opinion, was better than the other two guys. So I happen to really like the pick. I think Joe Douglas made the right choice here.
Okay.
But I think I hope that for what they can do is jump maybe back into the second round and grab – what do you guys think about this Georgia receiver, McConkey?
Yeah, he's small, right? McConkey's – what is he? He's definitely smallish.
He's 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot.
Yeah,
but
well, that's not that small.
You know, yeah, he's 6 foot tall. He's not that small, but – I mean, he's a great route runner. I think he's a guy who can catch a lot of balls.
Yeah.
And I still think the Jets need a receiver.
They do.
I hope they do that.
And I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind that, whether it's him or somebody else. I wouldn't mind that because we talked about a BT. I just didn't want them to draft the second receiver and have your top two guys being Garrett Wilson and a rookie wide receiver.
Well, you got Mike Williams, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So now that they got Mike Williams, now I'm okay with them drafting that third guy or that insurance guy, if you will, however they want to work him into the offense, I'd be okay with that. Especially now, after getting the lineman first, now I'm okay with wherever the Jets go with the rest of their draft. Trading back in, whatever it may be.
Well, to me, that's good because the thing about the Jets for years is that they've been so inept in so many areas that they're pigeonholed into a certain spot. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to address this. I agree with that part. As much as we disagree on most of the stuff today, I wholeheartedly agree with what Sal just said. Like now, you can go out, and if there is a kid that you love, whether it's tight end, whether it's receiver, whatever, not defense. I'm talking about offense.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make a move, and you could get him. You can even mess around and get a quarterback if it's like somebody in round three that you love. So I do like that flexibility.
I like that. They got the left tackle that I'm dying for them to get. Just get all peace on the offensive line, stable moving forward. Now you can do anything.
All righty, BT and Sal back on the Fan. 12:41, the day after the first round. A little mixed up right now. We got a whole lot more Giant stuff for you. And he is in the house. He's actually here in studio, two-time Super Bowl champ, our buddy Brandon Jacobs. BJ, what's going on, dude? Welcome back to the Fan.
BT, man, you know, it's great, man. Things are great. Love being here. Always love being here. There's always some nice energy around here.
There's always energy. Do you hear me and him yelling a little bit? He doesn't like what the Giants did. He thinks the Giants messed up last night,
Does he really? Why is that?
Well, I'll be curious to get your take on it, Brandon. I watched you, obviously, throughout your career win, running the football, defense, smash mouth football, obviously, Eli being clutch. You didn't need a top wide receiver with the Giants. We saw Odell Beckham Jr., top wide receiver. They didn't win squat after your guys' model left and moved on, right? I know the sport has evolved and changed. Do you believe in building a team by getting a top receiver? Me, I would have traded down if you didn't like the quarterback. I just don't believe in needing a star receiver. How do you view building a football team?
As a running back, right? So I want to take you back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a top wide receiver to be able to make a team. Do you remember in 2008 we dominated everybody?
Right.
And a mistake happened with Plexico.
Yeah.
Once that happened with Plexico, our team did what?
Right. I know you went south. I know.
We went down.
Everything changed.
It
changed
12-4 ended up losing to the Eagles that year.
It changed everything. You know why? Because we had our way of playing. We had our identity. Right, you got a 6'5" wide receiver on the outside that can outrun just about any DB out there. So he's going to take a little bit to handle. Right? Yep. So while you're taking a little, I think Plexico had that season, I think he had like 400, 500 yards of receiving.
Really good blocker, too. Really good blocker.
So he mattered to our offense a lot. You're going to sit there and double coverage and put him in double coverage.
Right.
So me and Amaj is going to run down your
right, throat. But as far as level of importance, interior line play, quarterback, edge rusher, corners, like to me, I just don't. You could find wide receivers, and the fact that the Giants don't have a lot to begin with, they don't. I don't think they have a quarterback now. Maybe your opinion is different. You like Daniel Jones. I just feel like it's building outside in, building backwards, where they needed so many other things as opposed to a wide. It's not about Neighbors himself. He could be a stud for all I care. I mean, it's not about that. It's just about taking a wide receiver that early.
Honestly, I'm going to go and tell you this because you said about interior linemen as far as. You know, I think that's a need almost for every team. But you just seen we just took two tackles in the last 5 years, top five.
Right. Okay, too bad only one of them could play.
Well, you know what I mean? Right. So you see where we at with that, right? And yep, not yep. saying that that wasn't needs for us at the time, but I think you can also find that later on in the draft. I think this whole draft thing, man, just like the draft and free agency, I think it's kind of pissing in the wind a little bit. You know,
and that's not fun for anybody.
Well, you were overlooked. Tiki was overlooked, yeah. Second round pick. I get you on some level. Yeah, go ahead.
I think these guys go with team need so much. Like obviously somebody has to be taken early, but it's a lot of talent all throughout the draft. You know, and sometimes some guys are hyped up, and some guys that are not. You know, I came in the fourth round and they didn't expect anything out of me.
Right. Nope.
I broke the rushing record.
You bounced around. Touchdowns. You know? A couple of colleges, right. You bounced around. Back when everybody wasn't bouncing around, right. Everybody's bouncing around now. It's a different thing with the portal. We'll talk to our buddy Brandon Jacobs in studio, BT and Sal. All right, so it wouldn't have made any sense to cut Jones or move on from Jones now based on what they owe him, almost $70 million. It's reckless. You can't do that. But what I don't want to see, I'll speak for myself, like, I don't want to see, like, a slightly above-average season from Jones. And you might get that because Neighbors are going to be a beast and you got some other pieces, O-line getting a little bit better. And then the Giants themselves say to themselves, oh, man, maybe we can push this thing long-term forward with Jones. I don't think he's that guy. Do you?
I think he has – I still think Daniel Jones has everything to be that guy.
Really?
I do.
You think he's got elite arm talent, man?
I do. Okay, I think he's got elite arm. I do because – If you give Daniel Jones, you know, some guys around him, you know, he hasn't really had, you know, who was going to be our leading receiver last year coming into the season? We was all looking at Darren Waller like he was going to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
He was going to be the guy. He ended up suffering a bunch of injuries. You know, we had Saquon, you know, he missed a couple of games. And Daniel Jones was on and off the field from injuries. You know, you got Evan Neal that was hurt for the majority of the season.
Andrew Thomas got hurt the first Thomas game, I think, with a hamstring.
It was just so
game
much one. Going on. It was just so – it was that dark cloud that was around our team that we don't really know how good we really could have been because we had so many guys down. You know, and I think, you know, given this year we got – we just drafted Malik Nabers in the top 10, obviously. I think he's top 10 talent.
I love him. I think he's the best – I think he's better than Harrison.
I agree 100%. And you know, not to take anything from Harrison, I think he's great as well. But I think Malik Nabers brings more as a complete wide receiver than any other wide receiver in the draft. Why? Because he can catch the ball. You know, he can run a hitch and take it 80 yards, break tackles.
Yep.
You know, he runs every route in the route tree. You know, he has down the field speed to, you know, threaten your defense to get behind him. The guy can do everything, and I'm glad Malik Nabers is with the Giants because I'm probably one of the biggest Malik Nabers fans there is. You know, so
set behind me, brother. I'm number one. I'm
born and raised in Louisiana, watching play, man. So he's from Louisiana. So
you've seen him.
I don't know, BT.
Maybe you are number one. I got you.
Friendly reminder: Odell Beckham Jr. was also from there, and the Giants won squat with him. So, and he was a great receiver. Like,
he's a great receiver,
right?
He was a great receiver, but the Giants made the playoffs and went 11-5 with Odell Beckham Jr.
But they did it with their defense, and then when it came time for the Giants to show up in the playoff game, Odell was partying on the boats. And remember, they had Odell, Victor Cruz, they still couldn't move the football. Odell was a game changer as far as you get the ball in his hands, you could flip the field one play. That offense was not good with Ben McAdoofus. You know, Ben McAdoo, I call him Ben McAdoo.
I get it.
Yeah, I just want to clarify for those who didn't
get it. Jacob, you see what they got to deal with this guy every day? He's nuts, isn't
he? I just feel, now, if you believe in Daniel Jones, totally different story and totally understand this pick. If you're the belief, and it sounds like you are, Brandon, and other Giant fans, we've heard from them. If you are the belief of Daniel Jones just having a fluke bad year last year because of injury not only to him, but Barkley, Thomas, all the stuff that we mentioned before, then I understand this pick. Then this pick does make sense. I do not believe in Daniel Jones. Therefore, the pick to me does not make sense. I think they need a new quarterback.
So you think the Giants should have took a quarterback?
Or if you didn't like one, like I would trade up for May, take McCarthy at 6 or Penix at 6.
No, don't take McCarthy.
Well, yeah, McCarthy's not in.
Yeah, no. Me personally, I would have probably taken Penix at 6 or trade down. If you don't love one of those guys, that's fine too, but then trade down and get more picks to where you could build your team better. I just would not have taken the stud receiver. I just feel like it's building the team backwards.
So we're talking to Brandon Jacobs, of course, two-time Super Bowl champions in studio. Let's give this a pop here. We'll get some stuff on social media for you as well before we get back. Maybe to the coach, I want to address some things in the building. So the celebrity softball game with your buddy Dexter Lawrence, Team Lawrence versus Team Jacobs. Mm-hmm. It's coming up Saturday, May 18th. It's over in Pomona, beautiful minor league stadium. So first of all, who's on your roster? Who's on Team Jacob so
I mean,
far?
I got most of my guys coming. You know, the only question mark we got now is Eli. Is Eli going to be able to make it?
Ooh.
It was too far out in advance for him to be able to commit because you know he got a lot of stuff going on. So
well, what's he got going on in May? I mean, he's not doing games in May. He's playing golf in May. What's he doing?
Well, when you're Eli Manning, you never know what's going to come up. That might be a little bit more worth it to do than a damn softball game.
Okay.
You know,
who do you think is the best softball player of the bunch? Like, I feel like Eli wouldn't be good.
No,
at softball.
Eli was a great baseball player. Better than Peyton. Great baseball player.
Read that wrong. I feel like tall, lanky, maybe.
World-class athlete, man.
Who else on your team could play? Could you play?
Yeah, I can play.
You don't look like a baseball player.
Who's that?
You.
I don't look like I can breaststroke either. Huh?
No, but you do look like you can kick the snot out of both of us here.
Looks like Albert Bell or something. Frank Thomas, actually, now that I think about it. So who else is on the team? Is Tiki playing or no?
We would love Tiki to be there. I don't think he can be there due to whatever he has.
Gotcha.
But, we would love him to be able to be there.
Man, and what are we raising money for? What is this all about? Obviously, it's for a good cause.
For St. Christopher's.
Yeah. Oh, love it.
They do a lot of work with kids.
Yep, patron saint of kids.
So, man, absolutely. Every time we do this, we want to tag a good charity to it. You know, we haven't done it in 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
Our last time doing it was, I think, right before COVID, and we took a break off of it. And then, of course, it was with Landon Collins then before.
Yeah.
And now it's with Dexter Lawrence. So, man, it's always good to get out with a lot of my guys I play with and to get out around the new guys and the current guys and, like, see what they got going on, see what their mindset is for the, season. You know, that way I will be able to have a better idea of what the New York Giants is going to do throughout the season after the softball game.
Tickets can be purchased on the MLB ticket site. It is for St. Christopher's, Inc., which is an organization empowering children and youth with special needs. Of course, looks like a fun event. Dexter, Sexy Dex! And big Brandon Jacobs. Yeah, I mean, boy, that's a battle you two going at right there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
You think he's one of the guys who may be able to tackle you? I mean, even back in your... He's a beast. I know you're a beast.
But the easiest person on the field to run over? A defensive lineman.
Because he's got no momentum going forward.
One, and he's got to be getting off of a block. So his feet is not playing.
He's a little preoccupied with somebody else.
I mean, I still remember playing against the Cowboys and playing against, Ferguson at the time?
Yeah, Ferguson
was
there.
He was getting off of a block that Sean Harris, somebody come, and he stuck his whole body in the hole or just...
Really?
He stuck his arm out, just ran. I think he tore his pec and everything then.
Give me your most satisfying, like, smashing somebody down the field, either stiff arm or just bowling them over like you did so many. You have one guy in particular that you just destroyed?
I'm going to say Brian Urlacher. I'm going to say that because he's a bigger body. Running over Laurent Landry, that was his DB that tried to hit high. That's
come
given.
On, yeah.
That's like a turnstile. Yeah. You just keep moving.
So I'm not
Disney turnstile.
But I was running against the Chicago Bears, and I was going toward the sideline, and I saw Urlacher pursuing toward the sideline. He had no idea. I put my foot in the ground and got north-south, and boom!
Wow.
Knocked him, he flew off. And
I don't remember that one. So you got him a little bit on the side?
I got him, so I'm running here.
Yep.
And he's pursuing.
He's coming there.
And as he's going, I put my foot in the ground and boom, just like that. And I already saw the corner outside. He had leverage outside, so I'm like, I'm going to have to try to squeeze inside the wide receiver. So that means I'll be running away from him. It'll be easier for him to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to run, put my foot in the ground and find a little crease and run right into him. I might have got like 8 extra yards just because I did that.
That's good stuff. I wish I could do stuff like that. The old-time Giants touchdowns leader. I
wish you could do stuff like that.
I wish. Trust me, I wish. Let me ask you this. The Giants building in general, and the Giants organization in general has taken a knock, and rightfully so. Now, a couple of years ago, it was a lot of fun. They won more games than we thought. They went to Minnesota. They waxed them. They won a road playoff game. Got to respect that. Mm-hmm. We all do, even if it wasn't sustainable, because then they got waxed the next game, and it kind of reality set in. But between ownership maybe being, I want to say, a little spotty the last couple of years, but it doesn't feel like it used to. Is it getting back to there? Because the Giants were always defined by class and stability and always doing the right thing. And now it's like the building with Wink and Dable a year ago was a mess. Like, where is the, in a long-winded way, where is the building right now?
Well, I got to tell you, guys, I haven't really been in the building.
But
I think coming in, and I think you have to sense energy as an owner, general manager of a team. I think you have to sense energy in between coaches. you have to watch them on the sideline. I think it's some like you have to watch them interact, right? If you see the stubbornness of one coach, you know, you can't have a stubborn coach. I think that's probably what it is. Most of the time, your head coach can't be stubborn. Your coordinators can't be stubborn. Your position coaches can't be stubborn. It's a team job.
Do you think Dable's stubborn? He comes across as a little stubborn. I know Wake was stubborn. Is Dable?
I'm not going to say because when I had a chance to sit down and talk to Dable, he was awesome. He was absolutely phenomenal to talk to. Great guy. But stubbornness is something that rips apart coaching staff because everyone, that's their living. That's their profession. They think they're perfect at it, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear somebody else say something that they're not doing right.
Especially
when your job is something else.
Uh-huh.
You don't worry about my group, right?
Yeah.
So unless, you know, coaches, you know, just it's just like players. You have to be able to take accountability from your peer. If you cannot take accountability from your peer, then everything is going to be is going down here. You know what I mean? I think that's something more so than anything else. You have to put coaches in place that have a great relationship. Right, I never seen Coach Coughlin get into it with any of his position coaches.
Really,
I've never seen it.
Well, you see Sean Payton do it, and Sean Payton's really good. It's not that it can't work, B.
Yeah. I mean, but just as far as what I know, the teams I played on, I've never seen Coach Coughlin jump in one of his coordinator's face. I've never seen a coordinator jump into the position coach face. I've never really seen any of that, and I didn't even see. With Wink and I never seen that happen as well, but we all know through the media they disagreed a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can take that for whatever we want to take it for and make it whatever we want to make it, right? But I do think you need to have coaches in there to have a great, great, great rapport with one another and the players have a great rapport with one another and be able to take accountability from your peer.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata in studio here with Brandon Jacobs. They got the Dexter Lawrence, Brandon Jacobs celebrity softball game coming up Saturday, May 18th, Clover Stadium in Pomona, New York. Tickets can be purchased on the MLB ticket site. The charity, of course, St. Christopher's Inc., which is an organization empowering children and youth with special needs. Brandon, do you still watch? Like, how are you consuming football? You sit there on a big screen and watch all the games. You're watching just the Giants. What's a football Sunday like for you now in retirement?
Well, now in retirement for me, a football Sunday is sitting down with a big screen in front of me with all of the games on there because I am on the radio. I'm on the radio on Sundays.
For where?
ESPN, primetime.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've heard you a couple times.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. Look at you.
Yeah, man. So I'm trying to graduate the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put this pretty mug, man, right on the screen.
And what do you want to do? Be an analyst for? It doesn't matter, Jets, Giants, or National.
It doesn't matter. I cover any team.
Maybe you and your buddy Rex could do a show together. I know you guys get along, Rex.
I love Rex. Rex is great.
I know, I told you,
I had opportunity to talk to Rex after that season was over. I was with San Francisco, and we came to play the Jets.
Yep.
And he said, "Hey, you call me fat."
Yeah, oh, I remember.
Look at what you did.
He lost that weight, but he put it back. I'm not calling him fat, but I think he put it back. So maybe he got called fat again.
Man, it's hard, man. Food is good. It's too easy to get when you got money.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I would have thought for sure that you would have been a guy who would have just like let yourself go and gotten fat.
Well, me?
Yeah, this guy's a boxer.
You were always a bigger guy. Okay. And like a lot of times you see guys like that, you know, you get done with football, you stop working out, you start eating, like you said, good food, you get fat. You are in peak physical condition.
Well, because, man, I have kids, one. And when I retired, I got into coaching kids. So it kept me busy, hot, moving around. If you're going to be a coach, you can't show an example of what's supposed to be done, you shouldn't be coaching.
Hmm.
Especially a young man that's coaching
kids.
Was 32, 33 years old when I started coaching. Kids were 7.
Yeah.
So if I can't teach them what to do, show them what to do,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be doing it. You know, I got a big son, man, just committed to Clemson.
That's so phenomenal. We're going to brag a little bit. Tell everybody how big he is, by the way.
He's 6. He's almost 6'8". You know, just waiting at like 3:33 or 3:34, something like that.
3:30. Can he play for the Knicks Sunday?
Yeah, man.
Against Philly? Can he take out Embiid?
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but I don't think nobody can take Embiid out, man.
What?
Embiid at 50.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying take him out physically. Take him out. Take him out. Not just shut him down. I mean, take him out, B.
He's a beast, man.
Hey, by the way, I meant to ask you this.
He plays for the Giants. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Come on.
Hope so, man. One day.
Yeah, we've heard about him. I remember you telling me about him a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember this real fast. He loves Harbaugh. I love Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, I was in San Francisco for a minute, and you were with the Niners for a minute, mm-hmm. and I actually went on the field and I saw you pregame. Remember that? Like when you and you didn't play much, and you were pissed at Harbaugh. I just went to say what's up because we did radio together back in the day, whatever, same agent back in the day. And I think Harbaugh's amazing, but it didn't work out for Braylon Edwards, didn't work out for you. Like, what is Harbaugh's deal? Because people either love him or don't, and he's polarizing. I think he's a great coach. What was your experience with him?
Well, my experience with Jim, man, I got hurt in the preseason, and that kind of tainted my whole time over there. You know, going over there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I ended up getting hurt in preseason. I kind of never was the same. But I thought they was going to put me on IR. You know, I had a grade two and a half tear on my MCL, so I didn't know I was going to really be able to come back from that.
Yep.
So they, you know, they nursed me back, and I come back, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, these guys don't want to put me on IR. They got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, my issue is with Jim. He lied to me.
What did he tell you? And then what did he do?
Well, because you know, it was like, okay, we're gonna make you inactive this game. We'll make you inactive this game. We want to save you down to the playoffs. You've been there. You played this game long enough. We want to save you for the playoffs. Save you for the playoffs. This, that, and the third. And the whole time, I just for whatever reason, well, I don't know. I went to practice. I did everything I had to do. So my time there, you know. Frank hadn't been making it through the season.
Frank Gore?
You know, Frank got to a point that season where, man, he just worked out hard. We worked out hard, like in the offseason.
Vernon Davis, tight end. He was a weight room guy.
I just wasn't one of Jim's guys.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I do.
That's just what it was. Like they offered my son at Michigan when he was there.
Oh.
And I said to myself, I'm like, man, that's something he would do. That's something he would do just to be like.
Really?
Yeah. So.
You mean like arrogance kind of deal or?
I mean, only with certain people, I guess. But you got to be his guy, though. And everybody that's played for Jim, they probably tell you that if you're not his guy, you scum of the earth.
Is that different for anywhere else? Like, don't you almost have to be? Like, if you're not Coughlin's guy, you're not Coughlin's guy. Well, if you're not Dable's guy. Okay, go ahead.
That's not true with Tom, because Tom is the same way with everybody on the team. He's gonna get in. He's gonna rip your new one. He's not about to pick favorites. He's not about to do anything. Now we know, like, Ahmad was his favorite because he stayed on his back about a whole lot of stuff. So and he stayed on my back about him. You need to stay on his back as well
about Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, I had a whole conversation in the office with him about Ahmad.
Wow,
30 minutes about what I need to do with him.
I know we got to go here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would annoy me if I'm you, by the way. Yeah. Let me worry about myself. No disrespect,
you came back for the Giants one more year. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you get your 27 back? Andre Brown, like, what? Come on. You won two Super Bowls. Show the guy some respect. Give him his number 27.
Stevie Brown had 27 then, and he was on IR and wouldn't give me the number back.
Did you try to facilitate a trade?
You shouldn't have had to ask.
I agree
number
with
one.
That's true.
You won two Super Bowls. Everybody knows Brandon Jacobs, number 27.
I get it. I definitely understand. I didn't know why he didn't want to give it to me.
All right.
He was on IR. He wasn't even playing. But I don't know for the life of me why I couldn't get it back. I asked because the guy was on IR. Now, if he wasn't on IR and wanted his number, cool. But I guess he felt like he did something in 27 the year prior. So he felt like he So I don't know if I'd say no to this guy.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
take my number.
That is ballsy.
Take my number.
I didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. I hear you. No, you're not that kind of guy.
That's ridiculous. Andre Brown. Who the hell is that?
Andre Brown.
Yeah.
No, Andre Brown was a guy we had playing running back. Right. This is Stevie Brown that had it.
No, wait a second. I'm looking at, maybe this is wrong here. It says Andre Brown had number 27.
Mm-mm. Stevie Brown was number 27.
I'm sorry. Maybe I looked that up wrong. You're right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you would know, obviously, better than I would.
Well, trust me. I knew. I went back over there. I talked to him about it. He was on IR because I went back over there week two. So he was already on IR.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm trying to get 27. And he just didn't want to give it back to me. So.
Listen, here's the bad thing about doing radio. We got to go to breaks.
Yeah.
We have to. Otherwise, we could just sit here and shoot the breeze with this guy all day. Good seeing you, bro. You look fantastic.
Good having me, man.
Congrats on your son.
Thank you.
And all the other stuff.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me. It's always a blast coming in here, man.
He's a good dude, man. Brandon Jacobs, two-time Super Bowl champ. We've got Team Lawrence, Team Jacobs, Saturday, May 18th, a little dodgeball home run derby softball game for St. Christopher's to benefit the kids, which is awesome. We'll tweet something out for you, get everybody a link so they could go and donate and check out what's going on.